Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is a repeat story over a redemption story. Ah! It's one of those nights in sports, one of those rare nights, just a handful of these every year in which we crown a champion, whether it's a national champ at the college level, whether it's a champ at the pro level. It's that thrill of victory for the one that can say, this is our time. And in the case of UConn, this is our time again, versus the team that came so close and has to deal with the disappointment and the dejection of coming that close. And for Purdue, man, one win away, maybe one half away from being a super cool redemption story. But UConn too strong. I know it's not rocket science. I know maybe you're looking for some unique, otherworldly, never heard before analysis. Well, that's it. UConn, too strong, too fast, too deep, too explosive, too athletic. They're too everything for the rest of the men's field. And while there's always a chance that a team can get upset, if there wasn't, we wouldn't watch sports. What we saw from UConn all year long, as well as during the NCAA tournament, well, Big East tournament as well, but NCAA tournament, is that once they weather whatever initial storm comes at them from challengers and opponents, they are the team that is steadiest and most consistent. The team that will stick to its identity. And with that identity, only UConn can beat UConn, right? With that identity of defense and rebounding, of balance between Donovan Clingan and a fast break game that gives them point blank shots and layups on the fly versus the 3-point shooting, which we did see as a major advantage over Purdue. When UConn sticks to its game, when the Huskies play their game, there isn't a team that's better in the country. Early on, Zach Edey fighting like mad. Phenomenal to see his hook shots and the way that he uses his body to gain position on the low block and down in the paint. His block shots, they are highlight reel worthy. But one guy, even a guy as talented as Zach Edey, as big, as bulky, as long, as versatile as Zach Edey, not even that guy can beat a team as deep and committed and determined and prepared and talented as UConn. Amazing run by the Purdue Boilermakers. The stated goal of winning the championship a year after losing to a 16 seed. I mean, their shame and embarrassment, their humiliation was out there for the whole country to see. And it was well documented and talked about it. But Purdue did exactly what it set out to do. Get to the Final Four for the first time in forever. Have a shot at the champs. So we get very close to a redemption story that would have been almost exactly like Virginia, which kind of blows me away, that in back-to-back, well, back-to-back, the only two times it's ever happened that a one seed loses to a 16, that one seed has then turned around and came either within striking distance of a championship like Purdue or actually won it like Virginia. And that's pretty incredible. I think it's a testament to how motivating failure can be and that it's only the end if you allow it to be the end of your story. It wasn't for Virginia. It wasn't for Purdue. And if not for UConn, Purdue would have turned that into a redemption national championship. But as I told you last night, it was either going to be a repeat story or a redemption story. And UConn put its stamp on yet another incredible run. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I am on the campus of Syracuse University. Back here to start my spring class. Now, they changed the name on me. It's kind of funny. I think it's students, but I also think it's adults, too, in many cases, male, for whatever that's worth, who, when they hear the title of sports, in whatever context it happens to be, instantly. For a lot of guys, that's very attractive. And so even though my show, not my show, even though my class is exactly the same as it was a year ago, different students, but it's the same class. Last year, the title was The Art of Radio, because that's the class that I designed. That's the class that I pitched. That's the class that I wanted to teach. It's my wheelhouse, if you will. Exact same class, but they changed the title to make it more appealing to those students who are interested in doing sports talk radio. So now it's just called Sports Talk, which I think is kind of boring myself. I got to tell you, I don't really want it to be called that. I wanted it something that was much more creative, little more poetic, if you will, the art of radio. And instead, it's called Sports Talk. Now, it generally is a show about hosting developing a sports talk style that will stand out in a crowded market. So that really is the gist of the show. And I go through all the various elements of putting together a sports talk radio show. Now, those elements can apply to any genre. They don't have to be sports talk, but that just happens to be what I do. And so it's really about building a radio show from the ground up. And yeah, there's a lot of principles for sports talk, but it's the art. It's the art of radio, starting with a blank canvas and painting your own style and color and flair and flavor. But whatever, they call it sports talk, so now there are more people in the class, I guess. I don't know. That is one of the things Syracuse University is known for. The Neuhaus School of Public Communications, housing not just my class, but also hosting my show for these next three Monday nights after this one. So four consecutive Monday nights here on the campus. And man, I still cannot believe that my first show, my first class of 2024 coincided with a total solar eclipse.
at least here in Syracuse. I cannot wait to tell you my story, and I'm really looking forward to hearing your story. Jay is back in studio. We've talked a little bit about the eclipse, but Jay, I'm not sure if you saw this. We had read about a million plus people flocking to Niagara Falls and the Buffalo area because that was not only a place that, you know, it's epic, right? I mean, it's Niagara Falls, for heaven's sakes. Who wouldn't want to see a natural wonder while you're hanging out at another natural wonder? But we knew that it was going to be 4 minutes of totality there in that part of Western New York, and really was going to be a place where, as long as the weather cooperated, you were going to get a show. And so more than a million people flocked to Buffalo, Western New York, Niagara Falls. And what I've heard, now I've only heard from a couple people, so maybe this is not completely accurate, but what I've heard is there was no sign of the sun. The cloud cover was so thick that people there couldn't see the sun. I actually feel bad. There is a sadness for me. My heart hurts for all those people because I can imagine how disappointed I would be if I had planned this vacation and I had gotten all the way to this locale and had battled traffic and had dealt with the massive influx only to miss it altogether. And to make matters worse, in other parts of the country, it was bright sunshine. And so maybe for those people who are in Buffalo or at Niagara Falls or in other parts of Western New York, actually, my mom in the Houston area, they had rain, so she didn't see it either, even though it went right over a large swath of Texas. I can't imagine how disappointing that would be. Yes, the money that you spend. Yes, the travel. Yes, dealing with the other hundreds of thousands of people who have the same idea. But to get there and you do all of that and you're ready and then you don't see it. I mean, I would cry. And I'm not using hyperbole. I'm being serious. I would be so disappointed. But that's the deal about planning. Gosh, that kind of happened with our wedding. Plan a wedding, you think you've got every detail taken care of, but there are some things you just can't control. You can't control other people. You can't control the mistakes that other people make. And you certainly can't control the weather in the case of a solar eclipse. So I was a little farther east in Syracuse, and I'm anxious to share my story with you. But I do want to hear from some of you who made this a destination. So, Jay, I was going to tell you I got this tweet from a listener in Buffalo, because we do have WGR in Buffalo 550. And I know a lot of people listen to us. And he wrote and he likened it to the Bills football history, which is so close and yet so far away.
Oh, no.
Yes. Hashtag go Bills. Listen to this. Bobby writes and says, cool experience in Buffalo. However, zero glimpse of the sun. No. And of course, if that's the case in Buffalo, it's likely the case in nearby Niagara Falls as well. And so, yeah, he made a Bills comparison right away. I kind of felt like that was a low blow and a little bit too soon still, but that's me.
A little bit.
Yeah. And then meanwhile, on every live feed, whether TV, whether something off the internet, I mean, NASA was doing a live broadcast, although NASA was at Niagara Falls. I'm assuming that's not the only place that NASA was posted up, but you can see other people enjoying it. You can see the eclipse in a clear sky taking place in other parts of the country. That would make it worse to me. Absolutely worse.
Oh, imagine if where your hometown is, where you came from, has the perfect cloud cover.
No!
All you have to do is just stay home.
Oh, that's terrible. That is terrible.
It's devastating.
Yeah. So my in-laws, I like saying that. That's fun. My husband's family is in Texas, and not only did his mom have a little party in her backyard, it was really cute. Other family members, they had a, don't ask me why, it's not that hot yet in Texas, but they had an umbrella. They were out in the backyard with yard chairs and lawn chairs and snacks and refreshments. It looked like they were at the beach. Anyway, they're outside to watch it, and she got some really good pictures, actually. My phone didn't take great pictures. I got a couple of good snapshots, but the moon over the sun didn't show up really well. So she had some really cool photos. And then another family member said that in his town, it was perfect. Like, you saw it with the glasses, then you could take the glasses off. There were stars that he could see that became visible because the sun's light was muted. So in parts of the country, it was perfect. And yet all these people go to Western New York and Buffalo only to have cloud cover. Oh, gosh, that hurts. Oh, that really hurts.
You got weather.
Right? Thanks, Peyton. I wonder if he saw the eclipse. So if you would like to share your story with us, and it doesn't need to be the negative side, the downside, but I am wondering if there is anyone in Western New York that was able to see it, the people that made this trip. If you went on the road for the solar eclipse 2024, the blessed event, if you went on the road for the blessed event, I'd like to hear from you about your experience. So we'll kind of cap what we started last night, your solar eclipse story. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, if you have photos to share, I'd love to see those too. I may share a couple of mine. Again, not of the sun itself, but of the darkness that encompassed Syracuse. It was really eerie and also so cool. I didn't think I would be that excited about it, but what had happened and the fact that there were thousands of people out on the main quad at Syracuse University, which is up on a hill. The plazas were covered with people and you could hear them. Again, because we're outside and the noise is bouncing off some of the buildings on the quad, I could hear people reacting all over campus. That was really amazing. And so I didn't think that I would feel anything but annoyance that it completely changed my whole plan, which, oh man, did I have a day getting up here. But once it happened, I was over the moon. Yes, pun intended. Well, kind of, not really. So I'm really excited that the dates coincided so I was able to be up here for that experience because it was way better. Well, first of all, it was 90 seconds of complete blackout, but also just to be here where I went to school and to experience it with so many others and to hear the reaction, I think added to the fact that we were able to see the solar eclipse. So I'd love to hear your story again on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It didn't start out like it was going to be anything special, but it did result in some really cool moments. So I want to share mine with you as well. We're going to talk about the national championship, the last college basketball game of the season. And we have our first repeat champion since 06-07 in the Florida Gators. Here's something really funny. People ask me every year before they fill out their brackets, as if I have some incredible knowledge about which upsets are going to take place. And I don't normally. And that's what I say to them. Here's my caveat. Here's my qualifier. I'm guessing, just like the rest of the people who fill out brackets. I mean, I can tell you which teams are strong and why they're strong. And I know where the best players are. And I know different analytics that I suppose you could use. But ultimately, these are young men and young women. And you have no idea how they're going to perform on this stage, except when you do. And with the UConn men's basketball team, we watched them all year actually get better than they were last spring when they rattled off all those wins by an average of 20 points. And now we know. So I told a lot of people, I don't know a lot. I can't tell you about upsets, pick upsets, because that's generally what happens in the first couple rounds of the tournament. But we've got some really strong one seeds, and UConn is actually better than it was a year ago. So that was my advice to people. UConn's better. If you want a safe pick, go with UConn. It wasn't rocket science. Again, you didn't need to be working the business to be able to see that UConn and Dan Hurley's coaching staff had not only taken last year's experience and had turned it into kind of this way that they could flex their muscles, and they felt like they were dealing from a position of strength, so to speak. Like, they had the edge as defending champions and they used the edge, but the Huskies also got better. They got better. Donovan Klingon got better. And so for that reason, it was going to be even more challenging for the field, though we did have some really strong teams like Purdue, like North Carolina, presumably. Let's see what happened there. So hope that you enjoyed the bracket games. At some point this week, producer Jay and I will check and see who the winners are of the After Hours Bracket Challenges. We had a women's challenge for the first time ever and our men's challenge. And we've got some After Hours swag-alicious gear for you. And so we'll do all that as we head through this week. But for now, find us on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or After Hours CBS, and also on our Facebook page, and we'll get to that game coming up. From the campus of Syracuse University, I'm Amy Lawrence. I teach. It's kind of fun, but I also talk for a living. If I didn't talk, I wouldn't teach. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio.
You
call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Edie at the top will hand to Braden Smith. Chased by Castle, runs it all the way in. Lobs it to Zach Edie! And a two-hand flush has him skipping up the floor, shaking his head. 11-11 our score.
Newton driving, throws it out left-hand side. Castle dumps it left corner. Newton three, got the three in the left corner in front of the Purdue bench. UConn by three, 14-11. Lawyer going to work from the foul line. Bump, throws the ball at the rim. Nobody there to tip it in. And Dan Hurley almost fell off the court. He thought it was offensive basket interference as Edie tipped it in to bring Purdue within one. Castle going to the free throw line, working inside, throws it back up top to Newton. Newton around two defenders, drives left side of the lane, throws it off the glass. It won't go. Tip try up and in by Newton. And now the arrow switch.
That might have been Castle, right?
Castle got his
Did
hand
Castle
on.
Get his hand
yeah.
on it?
Yeah.
So Castle is the tip, and it's a 36-30 UConn lead.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of Kevin Kugler and company on the Westwood One NCAA radio network. Yeah, early on, it was a healthy dose of Zach Edie, and it was impressive to watch the seven-footer, seven-plus-footer, dominate in whatever he was doing, whether it was defensive end with a few blocks that incited roars, both from Edie and from the crowd, the type of blocks that make highlight reels. And it seemingly was going to be the perfect formula because there isn't another body, whether it be on the UConn roster or even DJ Burns of NC State, who can battle with Zach over the course of an entire game. You've got to run different guys at him. And it wasn't too deep into the first half when UConn started switching guys out. Dan Hurley does an interview on TBS, and he even mentions we're going to have to start running different guys at him. We're going to have to start using different bodies because of the amount of energy it takes. And Zach starts out like a house on fire, not just defensive end, but also on the offensive end, where he's throwing up hook shots and he's posting down low. He's doing up and unders. He's going over his left shoulder. He's going over his right shoulder. He's battling for rebounds. And man, for those early furious minutes, Zach Edey dominated this national championship. But as the game stabilized, as the minutes went on, as Zach Edey tired a bit, and as UConn kind of changed his defense, but also give Donovan Klingon credit. He might be giving up 100 pounds to Zach Edey. Maybe it's not that drastic. He's long, he's lanky, he's quick, he's mobile, but Zach is bulky, and he's strong, and he's tough. And Donovan just had to take the beating. He just had to play him straight up, or whoever else they put out there on Zach for a spell. They just had to play him straight up. And Zach was on the court for 39 minutes. But they tired him out, and there was no help, very little help from anybody else on the Boilermakers roster. And that became too much of a load for Zach to carry, even on those broad shoulders. So after his initial flurry, the first 8 minutes of the game, he's got 14 points with what, I mean, there were still 8 minutes to go in the first half. He's already got a handful of blocks and rebounds. But with no help from the outside, UConn is able not to double team, but to sag off of some of the shooters, dare the Boilermakers to hit from the outside. But without that outside shooting presence, not only are the Huskies able to play a tighter D, but they're also able to hit the boards and make sure that there are fewer second chance opportunities for Purdue. And you know the formula. You know what it is with UConn. They weather the initial storm. They make adjustments. They make changes, which is certainly the brilliance of a coaching staff that can do this on the fly, but certainly understands the personnel that they've got available. They tighten up the defense and then the outside shooting and the number of different options for UConn. That was really a major challenge for Purdue, is that it isn't one guy. It's not just Donovan Klingon. It's not just Tristan Newton. They can hurt you a variety of ways, and it can be a different guy who steps up. And we saw that. Once UConn got its footing and started to clamp down on defense and Purdue didn't have an answer, that was when the offense could flow.
Spencer curling to the foul line. Jumper wide. Klingon offensive rebound. Backs it out. Deep three. Tristan Newton is good. He shot it from Tucson. 39-30. Largest lead of the night for the Huskies. Newton and the Huskies in the left-hand offensive zone. Spencer to Johnson on the right-hand wing. Johnson with a left-hand dribble, top of the key. Hands it to Newton. Newton lobbing it to Johnson again. He's got springs in the shoes. Leaping over the rim. Flushing it home. 47-34. UConn by 13. Rebound UConn on the run. DR to the rim. Scoops it up, lays it in, 56-40. The Huskies running to a second straight national championship. Timeout, Purdue.
Kevin Kugler on the Westwood One NCAA radio network. Even in the radio calls, you can hear the explosiveness, the athleticism. You can hear the swarm, if that makes sense. UConn is so deep and, again, has so many different options, but they're all in on defense, and they can hurt you on that end of the court as well, whether it's forcing an opponent to work hard to try to get off a quality shot, whether it's making sure they clamp down when it comes to rebounding. All of those ways, UConn can overwhelm an opponent. And it didn't take long before you saw the Huskies kind of grab that lead and run with it. I mean, this is what Huskies do, right? We know this from Matt the Musher. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Dan Hurley, he's open about his emotional roller coaster. He talks about even some of the mental health challenges that he faced in the wake of winning last year's title. He gets so fired up. He's so intense. He has a hard time just kind of breathing. But in this moment, the smiles, the joy, I hope the relief for Dan Hurley. Obviously, Purdue a worthy opponent, but ultimately UConn becomes the first repeat national champion since the Gators in 06-07.
It's a privilege to share the court with Matt Painter and Purdue, one of the top programs in the country, one of the best coaches in the country, and just total class class personified across the board with those guys.
Yeah, you'll hear a lot of people rave about Matt Painter, and it's amazing that he and Purdue were able to come back from college basketball history, the dubious kind, after losing to a 16 and getting all the way to this point. The weight of that was one that they were proud to carry. Right? We're going to change the story around Purdue basketball, and reaching the Final Four for the first time since 1980 is incredible for Matt. First time for him in the Final Four is a perfect way to cap Zach Edey's career. Short of winning the championship, they come extremely close. And it wasn't Zach. Zach finished with 37 points. But as I say, you got to have more than that against a team as deep and explosive and productive as UConn. If you look at the box score, though, Purdue ends up with just one other player in double figures. And how about this? Only five guys total put points on the board. In the case of two of the starters, it's 4 points and it's 5 points. And Lawyer, who played 30 minutes, goes over and has no points to contribute. And so that's the pressure, the defense of the UConn backcourt. With the experience and the speed, the ability to scramble, how they communicate, it's all of that. So great. Give Zach Edey his 37 points and his 10 rebounds. Allow him to do the damage. Not that you're going to make it easy on him, but you recognize Zach Edey's one of the best players in the country. Most of the other Boilermakers were unable to generate the kind of offense that they needed to go along with Zach. And again, the defense... terrific. Purdue was this season. Purdue was the nation's second best team from 3-point, right? So they were a team that would do the inside out with Zach Edey, but because teams would try to clamp down on him inside, it would leave their guards open. But they were only able to get off 2 3-point attempts in the first half and were only 1 of 7 from deep. So to not have that compliment to Zach Edey, it was a glaring miss. So the game plan for Dan Hurley and the UConn Huskies.
We didn't want to give up threes. We didn't care if Zach took 25, 28 shots to get 30, 35 points. This whole game plan was like no Smith, no Lawyer, no Gillis, no Jones. Keep that collective group under 18, 20 points as a group. They had no chance to win. No matter how well Zach played.
And he played pretty well early. Definitely got tired out, but 37 points, 10 rebounds for the UConn Huskies. Tristan Newton, 39 minutes for him. He played the most of any of the Huskies. 20 points, 7 assists, 5 rebounds. He was terrific from deep. And it's neat that you can look at this UConn team, and at various stages, various games along the way, it's a different guy who can hurt you. Whether it's Donovan Clingan, whether it's Alex Caraban, you can count on different guys to step up, and that's a huge deal. Where UConn made Purdue far more one-dimensional, there was production from across the board with the Huskies. And this time it's the backcourt that ends up winning the most outstanding player of the Final Four. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. We'll get to more reaction, not just from UConn, but also from Purdue in the run to Zach Edey's career. Top of the hour, we'll head to Glendale, Arizona, and we'll get the perspective of a reporter who was in the building, which is always fun. We've got our Eclipse stories that we still want to share, and some of you are sending photos of what it looked like in your area. So on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on my Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then our Facebook page, too. Happy Monday. Hope you survived. I barely survived. I'm not even sure if I survived. Maybe I haven't yet.
You are listening.
Listen as Selenia tells us why she chose to vaccinate her daughter.
I definitely felt like the pros far outweighed the cons, the diseases that I am protecting my child against. They're still here. And at the end of the day, it's my job as a mother to keep my child safe.
Talk to your child's doctor and learn more at whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
The After Hours Podcast.
75-60, UConn by 15. 6.9 to go. In it comes to Ethan Morton. He's going to dribble this one out. And the second verse is the same as the first. UConn repeats as national champions. The third team to repeat in the last 50 years. 75-60, the final. The Huskies back-to-back national champions.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of Kevin Kugler, our buddy, but for tonight's purposes, the voice of the Men's College Basketball Championship on the Westwood One NCAA Radio Network. And I love Kevin. This is not a knock on Kevin. I certainly understand that you're looking for poetic and you're looking for memorable when you do a final call, and he is brilliant at his work. But I actually don't think that the second verse is the same as the first. This is a bit of a different team for UConn and Dan Hurley, but also think about the adversity. Now, it may not have shown up in box scores. It may not have shown up in final margins. In fact, this is a run by UConn that produced the largest average margin of victory. In other words, UConn beat its opponents in the NCAA tournament by more points than any other champion in history, right? The margins were crazy. Averaging, I think it's somewhere about 25, 26 points as the margin of victory. That's nuts, because the games were close in some cases, or they started out that way. And it's never as easy as being automatic. There's no such thing as automatic in sports. We know, because 16s beat one. I mean, that's why we love this tournament. But for UConn, the formula and the personnel and the coaching, again, with the Huskies, they were the only ones who could leave themselves open and vulnerable. They were that good that if they played their game, and Alex Caravan told us on Selection Sunday night, we had him on the show, if we stick to our game plan and if we maintain our identity, we don't think anybody can beat us. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. Also on Twitter, After Hours CBS. Some of you are sending your solar eclipse stories, as well as just general chatter coming out of a Monday. I do have a story for you, let me just tell you. And also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So this is obviously an incredible feat to go back-to-back, to be a defending champion in any sport, college being unique in the fact that you have such constantly changing rosters now, not just with graduation, early departure to the NBA, but how about the transfer portal and how guys are routinely flitting here and floating there and changing their course midstream. And that's their prerogative now. That is the new landscape of college basketball. It's the new landscape of college sports. So for Dan Hurley to be able to not just bring the best out of the guys who stayed and see significant changes and growth and strength in the guys who stayed, but also put together a roster that would be the perfect complement to the group, the core group that was already there. It's amazing. I mean, it's a credit to their recruiting, certainly to his ability to sell UConn basketball. Although, you know what? When you're a defending champion and you have a resume like UConn does now in both men's and women's hoop, Storrs is still, I would say, the mecca for college hoops. You're talking blue bloods here. Multiple different coaches. It's not been the same coach every time. That sells itself in the homes of potential recruits and then in the transfer portal, to be sure. So they'll never have this particular group together again. And there's also the element of the extra COVID year. And so I don't know. Maybe we'll see it next year as well. You'll probably still have a few more players, but we're starting to phase out of the 24, 25-year-olds who are playing college sports, grad students who use their COVID year of eligibility because the NCAA gave every college athlete an extra year of eligibility. So you've got guys like Tristan Newton, who is older, who's more experienced, who's a grad student, and that will start to phase out. But Caitlin Clark, for instance, was a freshman during that COVID year, right? So she is leaving a year early, but she could go back and play another season. In the case of a lot of these athletes who are coming from maybe the mid-major schools, some of the smaller schools that pulled upsets this year, you look at their rosters and you know there are guys who are 23, 24, in some cases 25. So you're having a more mature kind of veteran presence, guys who've been around or been in their programs or just been in college hoops for a longer period of time. That will start to change a little more as we get through these last couple seasons of kind of the COVID years. But Tristan Newton, a veteran guy who stayed in school, and boy, what an impact he made with the most minutes for UConn, with not just the defense, but the 20 points. I mean, he had an all-around great game to be named most outstanding player.
We knew he was going to get his points, and, you know, it took him 25 shots to get 37 points. So, you know, that was the game plan, just limit the guards. And, you know, Steph, Cam, you know, Haas, when he got in there, they did great jobs on the guards and, you know, limiting them and their impact.
He's talking about defense first. Defense on Zach Edey. Of course, that was where UConn had to start. And it wasn't just the guys who were on the court initially. It was guys who came off the bench. And that's a big deal. Cam Spencer, he's such a great personality, really demonstrative. You're kind of drawn to him as you watch UConn basketball because he's very expressive. And yeah, here they go, winning another title.
It was all about the team and going to accomplish another championship. You know, I had never been a part of a championship like this. And, you know, that's really what Coach Hurley and I talked about in the recruiting process. And, you know, this was our goal from day one. So to do it with your brothers and your family that you go to war with every day is just, you know, really special right now.
His fifth year in college hoops, but his first with UConn. So he's one of those guys as a senior that came via transfer. All right, so maybe not the only way to build a team, but if you can get a healthy mix of guys who have been in your program and who stay in your program, and then you add guys that you pluck from the transfer portal, guys that you feel like fit your culture, that can be a really big deal. So now the inevitable comes up, like we're dealing with the Kansas City Chiefs, right? What about a three-peat? What about putting this together again and coming up with yet another run?
We graduate some players. We lose a couple potentially to the NBA early entry, and we're going to dive in and put together a roster that can play a comparable level of basketball to the one that you guys have witnessed the last 2 years. That's, I know what our mindset will be. We're going to be focusing on trying to put together, you know, a 3-year run, not just a 2-year run.
Dan Hurley, did you hear, and it went viral, so you might have, did you hear what he said on the podium when they were first, still dealing with confetti everywhere, but first getting the trophies and the announcements and the initial interviews? If you haven't, we'll play it after the top of the hour. I guess there was some pushback, but I'm not really sure how people can get upset over what he said. He's bold. He can be brash. He's very expressive. I mean, you could call him arrogant. He comes from college basketball royalty. But man, UConn has been able to back it up. And I have no issues with him relishing in that fact. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Obviously a disappointing end for Matt Painter and the Purdue Boilermakers.
Want to congratulate UConn on the win. I thought they had some separation there in the first half. At the end, I thought we had a couple plays where they made some tough shots. We had some shots at the rim, and it just kind of pushed that lead to six right there. And we needed a, you know, kind of a break to keep that even. The real difference ended up being their ability to offensive rebound in the second half. We just were wasting so much energy to fight once they got it to double digits, and then we would get stops and we couldn't get rebounds. And that was just really hard for us to overcome.
They did a good job showing, kind of mixing up some defenses, playing some one-on-one. Kling is a great player, but I just got to play better. This is one of those games where I can't go through stretches where I'm not effective, and I had a few of those stretches today, and that was the game.
So two things that stand out, that Zach Edey after Matt Painter. You hear Matt say, we were using so much energy because their defense forces you to work so hard. They're long, they're athletic, they're speedy. They can come at you in waves. And then Zach Edey actually says, I need to play better. I can't have long stretches where I'm ineffective or I'm almost invisible. And that is part of the issue. But you cannot ask Zach Edey to beat the UConn Huskies by himself. You really can't. You know, there were a couple of big shots from Braden Smith of Purdue, but he was the only other guy that had more than 5 points. And they needed other guys, especially from the perimeter, to step up and beat that UConn defense, because Zach Edey wasn't going to be able to do it, not against a balanced attack of UConn, not all by himself. On Twitter, After Hours CBS, also on our Facebook page, What's Your Solar Eclipse Story? We'll get to our Manic and Massive and Monster Monday coming up. But from Arizona, perspective inside the building after UConn becomes a repeat national champ in men's college basketball. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Listen as Selenia tells us why she chose to vaccinate her daughter.
I definitely felt like the pros far outweighed the cons, the diseases that I am protecting my child against. They're still here. And at the end of the day, it's my job as a mother to keep my child safe.
Talk to your child's doctor and learn more at whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.